Hi, welcome to Medical Musings with Sam. This is a podcast for anyone whose lives are affected by chronic illness and are looking for hope in what can feel like a really hopeless situation. I'm a blogger, a writer, and founder of the online support group Medical Musings with Friends. I'm also the author of My Medical Musings, a story of love, laughter, faith, and hope living with a rare disease. Before becoming chronically ill, I was an executive manager with a passion for change management, coaching, and developing my team. Medical Musings with Sam is a podcast all about connecting with others who are trying to live well with chronic illness in the midst of difficult challenges and hurdles. Come on a journey with me, and together we can share our experiences of living a life of purpose, faith, and hope despite our diseases. Hi everyone, welcome back to Medical Musings with Sam. Thank you so much for joining me. It is an absolute honour and privilege to have you listen to the episodes of Medical Musings with Sam, and I particularly want to welcome a handful of new followers who have joined us over the last few weeks. It's really great to see more people joining our village, I guess, and that is going to lead me really well into the topic for this week's episode, which is It Takes a Village. So It Takes a Village, as I'm sure many of you would agree, is such a familiar phrase for most of us, isn't it? But what does it really mean? I hazard a guess that its meaning is slightly different for all of us depending on our circumstances and the people in our lives. And I also hazard a guess that our villages can change over time, because I know that mine certainly has over at least the last 20 or 30 years. So, but due to a series of my own life events, recent life events, the concept of needing a village and having a village has suddenly become a huge reality for me. And it's not like I have never needed a village in the past, and I certainly have, but I think the last few months it's been different, and it's made me perhaps pause and really think about what makes up a village in terms of support. And as I said, it's going to be different for each of us, but I think it's a really interesting topic, and I think that it's something that's well worth us all thinking about. So I want to share with you what my village looks like, and I want to celebrate its love, its support, and the generosity that it has given me in my time of need. Because life is short and blessings are precious, and I'm pretty sure we would all agree with that. And we so often let them slip past us in the busyness of life, and I really think that's a shame. So I hope that as I walk you through my village, you'll begin to recognize that you have a village too. It might just not be what you imagined, and perhaps you just need to sit back and have a bit of a think about who you need in your village, who is available to be in your village, and perhaps who has always been in your village, but you have not recognized them as being villagers. So let's have a little wander. So come with me for a wander through my village. We're going to go through my past village and my present village, because my village has changed over the years. And in many regards, it's widened as people have come and gone from my life. So my village used to include my parents. Over the years, my parents were there to provide emotional support and financial support in hours of need, as was I for them. It was very much a mutual supportive relationship with both of my parents at different phases of my life. And with their passing, a village vacancy, a gaping gap in many regards, was felt deeply. And then there was our parish. So as a lot of you know, my husband is an Anglican minister. He's retired now, but we were blessed for many years to be part of the church village, which is an amazing place to be when it all works together well. Support provided and given was absolutely mutual. There was spiritual support, physical, practical, financial, really every kind of support necessary was available. Unfortunately, since I've become severely disabled and Peter has retired as my carer, our connection with our own church denomination is pretty much non-existent. But we're now connected with an online Presbyterian church based in the USA with an office in Sydney. And the Sydney team are just so beautiful. They often ring to pray with me and chat, and they support and promote my medical musings. They send texts and messages, and I'm just so grateful for their love and support. I am a little disappointed in the lack of support from the church Peter and I had served for many years, but I think it's a case of out of sight, out of mind, and I hazard a guess, sadly, that we are not the only ones that this has happened to. And then there's my workplace in my old village. So during my working years, the team that I led and my workplace in general were definitely my village. In many regards, they were my whole village for many, many years. The sense of community and the culture of support and friendship we created was at times not only extraordinary, it was absolutely magical. Every problem could be shared without fear of criticism or judgment, and help was provided in anyone's hour of need, either at work or outside of work. And when my health collapsed completely, I honestly felt supported by the entire large financial institution I worked for. It was, by all accounts, my extended family, and wow, do I miss it. But my village today is a beautiful place. So let's take a wander through that together, and I will introduce you to the members of my village. The first person you're going to meet at the gates of my village is my beautiful husband, Peter. And you're literally going to meet him because he's sitting here today listening to me record this episode, which is a rare treat because so often he doesn't, which is completely understandable. So I'm going to get him to say hello. So you literally are going to meet my husband at the gates of my village. So here you go.
Hello, everyone. I'm Peter, and I'm Sam's husband. I love her dearly, and she's just amazing. And you're lucky to share her in your lives.
Oh, wow, I didn't even script that. How good is that? But that is my husband, and that's why he is the first person you will meet at the gates, because he is just such a support. And I wrote a letter actually to him on one of my blogs called Thank You Sweetheart, which if you look up mymedicalmusings.com and search Thank You Sweetheart on there, you'll be able to read that particular love letter that I wrote to him. But anyway, so thanks, sweetheart, for doing that. That was really lovely. I'm sure everybody would love to hear your voice and know that you do actually exist. That's good. So, as I said, yeah, look, Peter is just an amazing support, and, you know, he holds my hand through the pain. He encourages me to pursue my dreams. His unwavering commitment to our marriage is fantastic, and he really is the hero in our love story. So he is at the gate of my village. And then there's my family, and they're scattered far and wide. Peter and I live miles away from any of our family, both within Australia and family overseas. And I think for most people looking at us, it must look like we have no family at all, but we actually have a huge family, but they are just scattered far and wide. And their support varies. I have immediate family made up of aunties and uncles and cousins in the UK. I have a brother and nephews, and their families are interstate in Australia. I have a beautiful step family full of sons and a daughter and granddaughters and a grandson, and they also live interstate in Australia. Communication is via phone, WhatsApp, Messenger, text, email, and when possible, some members of our family are able to travel to see us. One thing is for sure, we know they are there for us, and their support and love are mutual, and they are an incredibly important part of my village. And then there's my adoptive parents, and I couldn't not include these two beautiful people. In the mid-90s, Peter and I had just got married. I'd left my job as a bank manager to work on a special project in the church, and Peter had accepted a position as rector of a full-time workload parish with a part-time salary in order to support a particular ministry that was in need. So we were living on the smell of an oily rag, quite literally. My own immediate family had unfortunately fractured at the time, and my support network in that regard was pretty much non-existent. But it wasn't for long, though, as we met the most beautiful couple who at that stage were in their early 60s, and they quickly adopted me as their daughter, and they became my mum and dad in every sense of the word. They supported us emotionally, spiritually, and practically. Whenever we went back to the city because we were working in a country area, their home was our home. We never even had to think about where we would stay. There was always a room, and it was just like coming home, literally, to your parents' home. I don't know how many times we used to actually live near them as well for a little period of time, and I don't know how many times when we were living in the same area, they came to our door with fish and chips in hand on a Friday night, as we were just so exhausted from the work that we had been doing and we needed a listening ear, and they just knew that. Or they gave us money, just the right amount we needed for food or bills, without them even knowing our exact need. They are now in their 80s, but they are still my adoptive parents, and I love them dearly. My village just would not be the same without them. And then there's my best friend. As with my family, my best friend also lives interstate, but that doesn't diminish our friendship and the love and support we provide and have provided each other for over 20 years that we've been friends. She and her husband find time to come and see us as often as they can, and our support of each other is both practical and emotional and so precious. Then there's my wider friend network. And I am blessed to have made some lifelong friends over the years who do live close enough to visit for a cuppa, to share a load, to help out in practical ways, and to give me peace of mind to know I can call them in a crisis. And that's really priceless to have that kind of connection with a small group of people, but a really precious group of people. And then, as we move further into my village, there's my forum, Medical Musings with Friends. Now, this is a busy part of my village because there's lots of people in there, but it's definitely somewhere to take some time to stop and say hi. This part of my village has around 1,800 people from all over the world in it. They all suffer from some kind of chronic disease, and they completely understand the difficulties of living life with ongoing illness and disability. They're all trying to live the best life possible despite their diseases. They are full of compassion for other forum members, and someone is always available 24/7 to hold your hand in a virtual sense if life is a little tough, or to celebrate milestones, birthdays, and anniversaries. This group of villagers is just so special. They give me so much purpose, and it's with joy that I provide a large plot of garden in my village for them to reside. A plot that is full of love and care. And then I spoke about my workplace in my past village, but in my present village, I have my ex-colleagues. After having such an amazing career and working with such incredible people during that time, it's not surprising that many of my ex-colleagues are in my village. Some are dear friends, and others are part of my extended support network when I need to reach out for a particular need in their area of expertise. My ex-boss even wrote the foreword in my recently published book, My Medical Musings, A Story of Love, Laughter, Faith and Hope. I am just so grateful that he is a part of such a huge milestone in my life in terms of being an author, but also as an amazing, I guess, memory of what an fantastic time I had in my career and with the people that I worked with. Then there's my volunteer colleagues. So since medically retiring 10 years ago, I've been volunteering for Arthritis Queensland. It's been a joy to be a part of this community and to assist them with building their online support forums. As much as I have done for them, they have given so much to me in terms of support. They even nominated me for an amazing National Patient Advocate Award a few years ago. They have supported me having my own chronic illness forum, and they've encouraged me with my writing. They are a very special part of my village. Then I want to talk to you about my gardener. Every village needs a gardener, someone to plant flowers, design the flower beds, and know when to water, when to prune, when to add new seedlings, or perhaps mature trees. In my village, my flowers and plants are the people who are in my life to help me at just the right moments. I may have a financial need, a housing need, a medical emergency, or simply need a listening ear over a much needed cup of tea. Only one gardener could possibly know who the right people are at any point in time to be in my village, and only one gardener could know my needs before even I knew I had them. So who is my gardener? Without a doubt, my gardener is God. He is the architect of my village. He brings the right people into my life and ensures I am never without an occupied village. I have no doubt about that. The miraculous interactions with my villagers confirm that God is looking over me and has a plan for my life, even when circumstances might seem overly complicated and challenging. I am so blessed and so grateful. I want to thank my village residents. Life is a little challenging at the moment for Peter and I. The cost of living is crippling us as it is many people. We're literally living pension to pension. We need to release equity in our home, but being pensioners, lenders just don't want to know us. Our only option is to sell our home and downsize. It's doable, but it's not desirable, particularly when you're severely disabled and your husband is now in his 80s. We'll work it out over coming months and the right path will present to us. But in the meantime, we are so grateful for some special villagers who have helped us out financially to get food and attend medical appointments. We honestly don't know what we would have done without you. And that is the whole point of that phrase, it takes a village. I started this blog or this episode posing the question, what does it take? What does it mean, it takes a village? What does it really mean? And I think I've answered that question. It means a community of amazing people, whether family, friends, acquaintances, or strangers, all providing practical and emotional support when it's really needed. This, to me, is the essence of what it means when we say it takes a village. I really hope that as you've wandered through my village, that you'll find that there are people surrounding you that are also a part of your village, and that perhaps you just need to get in touch with them or send them a text or just know that they're there and feel comforted by that. Whatever a village means to you, I hope and I pray that it is a place that surrounds you with love and support and understanding and just gives you that sense of knowing that you are not alone, that there are people in various walks of life surrounding your life that will connect with you when you need them to. So thank you so much for listening today. I hope that you have enjoyed this episode. The topic was a little different to what I normally talk about, but I think it's an important topic, and I hope you enjoyed hearing my husband's voice on there for a short period of time as well. He's actually having a bit of a snooze now in the chair after a very long day, so I hope that he's enjoying that. I tend to put him to sleep when I do a podcast. He tells me it's my dulcet tones, but I'm not quite sure. It could just be that I bore him to death, but he's hoping it's not that. Anyway, take care, everybody. Have a great week, great day, whatever it is that is on your plate. I hope that you are able to find the support that you need, and that if you just need a friend or a listening ear or just a bit of time out, take some time to listen perhaps to some of the previous episodes as well that have various topics. And if you are wanting to be part of a community that could be a part of your village, Medical Musings with Friends is always there as a Facebook support group, and I will be there to welcome you, I can assure you, the moment you join. So please don't hesitate to come and join us there. So if you just go onto Facebook and search Medical Musings with Friends, we will come up and you'll be able to join us. So take care. Talk to you very soon next episode. Lots of love. Bye. If you enjoyed what you heard today, you can subscribe to this podcast or you can leave a review. I would really appreciate your support. If you would like to have more of my medical musings in your world on a regular basis, I also have a blog which you can find at www.mymedmusings.com. I post there at least weekly, so there's lots for you to read and be involved with. If you would really like to be a part of a nurturing community, Medical Musings with Friends is a private support group on Facebook, offering the hand of friendship, support, true care and understanding to anyone living with chronic illness. We would love to welcome you into our community. Just search Medical Musings with Friends on Facebook, click join, and you will receive the warmest of welcomes. I also have a book, My Medical Musings, a story of love, laughter, faith and hope living with a rare disease. It's available now through Amazon and my publisher, Imagine We Publishers. I would love for you to check it out. There's something in the My Medical Musings world for everyone. Something different to suit your needs. I hope you do find something that resonates with you and helps you feel you are not alone. Because you're not. Remember, chronic illness is a part of your life, not all of your life. Take care.